Hey, Ted, can I have a little liberty here to express something else that's going on that most people are not aware of?
Please do.
Okay. Christian Walters, which is my teacher, which we have a group that we have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday group. What we have learned is that if you go about these matters as you, the signee of any of these signatures on these documents, and that places you as grantor. In other words, you're the originator for those particular instruments to become valuable. They can't do it any other way. They have to have a signature to actually strike the value. So by us going about reclaiming what has been put in a misconstrued general circulation of where the trustee acts as if it was grantor, of where its intent was supersedes the grantor of that signature, what you do is you initiate orders for that trustee, usually a bank or a mortgage company or a credit card company or an automobile company, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. It could be your PG&E bill or water bill. When you set forth the order as grantor, what you're doing is you're telling them your intent as the owner of that trust. That trust is therefore yours by your claim. When you claim that and you direct them and order them that you want to execute closing out that general implied trust that they had set up to where they're the beneficiaries, therefore you are giving them the instructions that you are to put these funds, and that includes the fractionalizations, all the securities, all the payments, all the interest, everything that has everything to do with that into a brand new account, and therefore you issue out a credit card and a checking account for the grantor's usage. Therefore, they will benefit in a meaningful way, which would be a servicer as opposed to a beneficiary or a grantor to that account. When they fail to execute that, this is where you go up to the FinCEN and to the IRS and file 3949As, and you file a 101 and a 104, and you go over to the Securities Exchange Commission and you file the removals of all the securities that were unlawfully, without your consent or knowledge, taking those out of the securities industry and pulled the rug right out from underneath them. And therefore, the FinCEN will come and do a full-scale investigation of why the trustee did not act upon their duties and obligations, and to the point of maybe pulling their charter where they cannot do any more business.
Well, I did fill out the 3949A, but did not know the rest of it. So I have been remiss in not doing and knowing all that I was supposed to know.
Oh, trust law and equity law in the private is starting to become very popular because it has been the missing link to all of this statutory, regulatory, public straw man side is that we're finding that the balance to that is people need to become educated and trained of handling their personal private matters on the private side and having an equilibrium between the private and the public side. If you do not maintain both sides, one side's not going to work. You got to maintain both sides. A little bit like what Tad was talking about with the admiralty law, and there is a private admiralty law. If you look under the UPU, there is a private side to all this, and there's actually private admiralty courts all around the world that deal with maritime liens and other issues, trespass and easement rights, and it also goes into equity, but it's a little bit different because it's under statutory law. What we're talking about is non-statutory law. What we're talking about is common law under equity in the private. Completely different than all the rest of this, but because I have been well-versed with Tim Turner's work and with other forms and formulas, is that I can see it very clearly that we all, every one of us, needs to look at a bigger picture here and understand how we can have a balance in the private and public side of ourselves and how we can actually effectively win and be more successful by choosing the right formula which addresses both sides.
Is there contact information for you?
Well, there's contact information for, if you want to write this down, I can give you the schedule for Christian Walters, and all you have to do is put in MT Trust, and you will go right to our site of where a lot of our disclaimers and disclosures and information that are being posted for newcomers and whatnot are over there. But the telephone for Monday to Tuesday, it's 712-432-0075, and the PIN number is 917-030-POUND. And on Monday night, Pacific Standard, it starts at 7. The same is true for Tuesday. And on Wednesday, it's a talk show, and the talk show number for Wednesday starts at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard, and that's 41875. And the same numbers for Monday and Tuesday apply for Saturday, and Saturday's call starts at 6, Pacific Standard.
And you said N is in Nancy T. Trust?
It's NTT.
NTT. Okay.
Trust, and you or put in Christian Walters on your Google search. And right now we have groups around the planet that are coming and getting educated with this trust law. It supersedes everything else that we've found. That's enough. I mean, that's just to get you guys to come in on some of the calls and listen, because, man, as soon as you start, you'll say, I get that. It's so simple, even a caveman can do it.
Oh, well, thank you.
For Tim Turner's case, a monkey says, so simple a monkey can do it. I'd like to see where he gets his monkeys. They're pretty smart monkeys.
But I just had to put that in there because there's nothing better than opening up your parameter of understanding. That means that if you're locked down with one system, maybe it might be best you take one step back and look at a bigger system or a wider view of some other things that are happening. And I love Tim Turner and everything we're doing over at this camp, and the reasons why is because I absolutely 100% support this on the debtor-creditor side. But what we're talking about over there is pure creditors, and we initiate and complete the public and private debt. And we have it in our composition is to end all public debt at some point with the information we've got.
You know, what was I going to say? You know, just when you think you know everything, there's the way this whole fraud works. I mean, it's like insurance. It's like a net. Well, they have safety net after safety net after safety net. The fraud they have perpetrated is a deeply woven fabric. If you snip one part of it, then the other parts take the load. So it's debtor-creditor, but then they have this stuff over here, and they have other things going on. So even if you do figure out part of it, they can always get around you using some other part of it.
Yeah, but Ted, stop and think about it. Why aren't they not using common law? Because it's sovereign. It's private. They could not manipulate the public to rape and pillage as much wealth as they could with those sets of laws.
Exactly.
The common maxims of law and equity law and trust law, they couldn't do anything with it because anybody that had any marbles in the head would secure their lives and they could not be collaterally attacked and they are unlienable. But they have...
Well, I'm supporting what you're saying, basically.
Yeah, and by the way...
They set up these trusts so they can say with deniability, oh, yeah, well, we've had this all along for you. We're just waiting for you to do it. But in the meantime, it's a shell game.
Yeah, but when you come in through the back door, they don't know how to handle that. When you come in on the private and you caught them with their pants down, that they're claiming themselves as trustee, that means that if you're the grantor of that trust and you set forth an order and they fail to execute that order that you set forth,
uh-oh,
they're going out of business and going to prison. It's as easy as that. There's no second guessing this. If they fail to execute a trust, their charter is going to go bye-bye. They're going to end up losing everything they've got, and they're going to jail.
Well, okay, and so the next question is, are they really? Because this whole system was set up for the elite and to protect the few, and what we're finding is that even when we do call them on it, at first they get nervous and acquiesce, but then after a while it's like, oh, we don't have to do that, and then they ignore it, and they just railroad right on through.
Well, you're dealing with criminals. What do you expect? Criminals are organized crime. That's all they are.
So and I guess my point is that, yes, right now you're saying, well, that's the end of their charter, but then as people start to jump on, they're going to probably start ignoring that too.
Well, we'll have to test the water and see how it goes. But the other thing I wanted to mention, that gentleman was talking about two private people as witnesses to a document. If you want to go to the Bill of Exchange Act of 1880 and go down to Section 94, that is the exact quote that if there is absolutely no notaries around, that statute is what backs you up to have two other parties as witnesses to that document.
Awesome.
Yep, it certainly is. It took me a long time to find that one. I found it.
Chris, he's our man.
Welcome back, Carter. But
hey, let me ask you, as far as the UPU technology, the Universal Postal Union, have you been able to find in there anywhere about precisely where it says that we are private or that we are postmasters?
Well, you are on the statutory side. What I was reading today, which makes a lot of sense, is any country that has not gone under charter to waive their sovereignty and come under the jurisdiction of the UPU has to have a symbiont relationship with another country that has a treaty with the UPU. They cannot do open commerce with anyone. It would be breaking the law. It would be a trespass between a sovereign nation and one that has already sold itself out. So I don't know if that answers your question.
My simple mind had a hard time following.
Okay. If you're any time that you act as a individual that is sending a document, you put a stamp on it.
Uh-huh.
You sign your signature across it. You're acting as a postmaster.
Okay.
But you're in agreement as a micro-ism to a much bigger UPU. It does not allow you to remain as a sovereign by interfacing with that. It is not a private event.
So if you do that, you're giving up your rights?
You're actually owning it even more so. Becoming an individual postmaster, and if you were to listen to Keith Livingway and what his opinions about being an individual that signs on to, as a postmaster, that jurisdiction of that document supersedes anything else that can come at it. That means that when you put a stamp on there, you become the postmaster. That jurisdiction becomes part of the UPU of where easement rights are everything that you own under the UPU. There's a difference between sovereignship and being a postmaster under the UPU. That means that that document takes precedence over any other affairs that is in relation to that matter. Well, you can be become a postmaster just by putting a 2-cent stamp at the bottom of your documents at a diagonal, and you sign across it with your signature in either gold, purple, or anything but red.
Uh-huh.
And by doing that, you're automatically under the UPU treaty of where it extends out to individuals and therefore becomes under international law, and you claim your easement rights that anybody that trespasses you can be prosecuted under the UPU.
I did that too. All my documents.
Well, the beauty about it, if you go over to thegreatregistrypost.org, you can file the easement rights and become permanently under the UPU. That means that you become rural route, and you have just announced to the world that you are not a U.S. citizen. Neither are you in their system, and you've reverted back to your common sovereign rights. Good.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can do it in 5 minutes. You can fill out that. They give you a confirmation back to your email. You've got your registration number. Then you can start dumping all of your papers privately and publicly into your special account under thegreatregistrypost.org, with Keith Livingway. Therefore, land patents, assignment papers, land trust, your rights to travel, your rural route that you changed your properties from the commercial value back onto the Republic form. All those documents go in there, your declaration of status. Everything can go into that file and becomes acknowledged under the Republic with no symbiont relationship to the United States Corporation under that postal zone. You're completely exempt from it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big. We're working on a lot of projects. We've got an International Fair Trade Organization, which is coming into play soon. Keith is very satisfied with what he's heard so far. So what I ended up finding out today, I went back into my files and couldn't find the UPU complaint. What we're finding out is that anytime that there's a legal or lawful correspondent either given by an administration, an attorney, a mortgage company, and or the court system, they're sending this through a red metered mail, of which has robbed not only the USPS, it's robbing the UPU, and it's in a noncompliance violation of embezzlement and taxation evasion under the Stamp Taxation Act under the UPU. And that means that it's mail fraud, and the complaint form that I came up with this afternoon is the one that you send to the postmaster inspector as a complaint for violations of mail fraud. And the congressional oversight committees are going apeshit. They're going wild, because they don't know what to do to stop what they have been getting away with for so long, but they have so many complaints against them for mail fraud, and I'm sure the loss of revenue both to the USPS, now that they're going bankrupt and they're looking for a bailout, they're, right now this week they're going for a bailout, that this issue of being robbed of the tax base by government and bank is going to be a big issue, because that's billions of dollars a month that are being lost because of this metered mail.
Wow. Chris, have you done your homework?
A little bit. Well, the beauty about it is I work on 50 documents a week right now, and every one of them are a different case under different jurisdictions. So it's almost like getting, like, you know, working out. It's like there's this exercising of being able to understand all these different systems. It only took me 11 years.
Wow.
I have a question.
Yes.
The gentleman that is talking, what is your name?
It's Caveman Jack. I'm sorry.
Now, are you the one that you're the one that was talking about Christian Walters?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'm looking that up on the internet because I wanted to get involved with that, and I can't find it. It's Christian Walters.
Yeah, why don't you come to one of the calls? And when you announce yourself, just say, look, I'd like to get on the NTT Skype list, and you will absolutely be floored with the diversity of documents and research that people clear across the world are putting in at that site. It's just amazing, the quality and the research of staying on point in and around privacy, private rights, equity, trust. It's just amazing what people are coming up with. And the newcomers are more than welcome, because in some cases they're coming up with...
I would like to be a newcomer. I'm trying to figure out how to get to that.
Call number for Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday is 712-432-0075, and the PIN number is 917030#. And Monday and Tuesday starts at
917030. Pound.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just be on the call at 7 o'clock.
And what will happen is that he'll read out of the Corpus Juris Segundum on equity and private and law and some of the things that he comes up that he would like to share with us. And then after that becomes...
Well, I'm among the others on the call that have done the mortgage thing, and everything has been ignored since January.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not make a payment last month. And now they're really getting excited, and I don't know if it was a good idea not to make the payment or not.
Well, yeah, because you're recontracted with them. You don't want to do that.
So I do need to make the payment?
No, if you make a payment, you recontract with them. And
I understand. Okay, gotcha.
And they have laws that says they can take and rape that money and don't.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm like everybody else. I'm not sure what to do at this point because they have totally ignored everything, followed the procedures, and being ignored. Getting the phone calls every day, and I'm getting, you know, late notices.
Well, send them a notification under, what is it, the Federal Communication Corporation. They have a law that says that if you tell these people to stop calling you and you note through an ID thing on your computer, it's $5,000 for every time they call you. And you can send them a bill for that amount without your log of calls that came in and calls to you that
Well, I'm sometimes getting 4 calls a day.
$1,000 a day.
I could pay the mortgage, right?
Yeah, for $20,000.
There and continue to do like everybody else. I have not been ordered to go to court yet. I'm just waiting.
So what we ended up doing, Tad, is we did an experiment down here. What we did is we did a debt validation and sent it off to the bank on a mortgage. And when they didn't respond with the next amount of time, we did a small claims for that month, which was $1,100 for the mortgage. And we went to court after giving them a summons to show up in court over small claims, and they failed to show up, so we won the case. Well, we did that 6 different times, or actually 5. We did it 5 times, and the 6th month, bring back the judgments from the judge, they compensated our account 5 different months. And then on the 6th month, we did a summary judgment of where the judge looked and saw that there was no response in 6 months by the bank to respond to the debt validation. Therefore, summary judgment was in favor of the plaintiff, and then the whole debt in totality was dismissed.
Good for you.
Yeah, so small claims is an equity court, and what we're learning to do is be able to bring non-money cases in there and in a court of where lawyers can't come in.
That's funny.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to find the noise, and my computer's freezing up. There's just...
Well, I didn't mean to occupy the call either. No.
It's all about the same thing. We're all trying to help each other, you know?
Well, if anybody else has got questions, by all means, step up to the plate. I don't have to dominate the call.
Chris, was that time on Monday, was that 7 p.m. Pacific?
Chris, what time on Monday and Tuesday?
7 o'clock Pacific Standard.
Please say again, you broke up.
7.
Did you say 7 o'clock?
Yeah.
And 6 o'clock Pacific on Saturday?
Yes.
Well, at this point, I've lost control of the board.
That means everybody has to behave. If a speakerphone that's interfering with the quality of the call.
Hello, could I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, I filed a negative vermiance, and I went right through to default, and I went to the Secretary of State, and I got apostille put on to their authentic document. And then I also went to my UCC-1, and I filed an amendment to it for a correction of fraud, and I filed an addendum to that with a notice to cease and desist, and I went down to the Secretary of State. I had that certified, and I presented this about 12 days before a sheriff's sale of my house, and the lawyer for the bank ignored all of it. What do you make of that?
What you need to do is you need to land that, do a homestead of... Do a land trust and file that on CC on the private. Do not put those documents into the public. You give notice to the sheriff that these things have been land.
File a land patent?
Yep. It supersedes any claim that a bank can make on property.
It's okay. Earlier they were saying they file a UCC-1.
You have to put it on public record, but you...
I already did that.
Okay, well, there you go.
I put a UCC-1 out, show that I have paramount security interest, And then I fired them as a trust, in the trust, members of the trust, and I reappointed my myself and another person to take care of the membership of the trust.
Yeah.
And I gave them notice of the correction for fraud, and then I gave them notice with to cease and desist, and I had all the amendment and the addendum to the UCC-1 certified. I demanded that they cease and desist the sale of the home. And they ignored it. And they ignored it. So earlier, someone was saying that when they ignore something like this here, that's a criminal offense. Now, how do you go about making this be credible for a criminal offense?
Well, that's 18 U.S.C. Section 4. That's
18 U.S.C. Section 4.
Misprison of felony and malfeasance. The second one you want to charge that anybody aging a criminal act by a mortgage company, such as the sheriff's department, that means they're in collusion, and that's racketeering, of where if malfeasance was the act that the bank did not inform them that you had a default and that they had unclean hands, therefore they have hidden factual material information of their status in relation to taking that property. Therefore, they have made the sheriff's department a liable party to that. Therefore, the sheriff's department can sue and take everything away from them for involving them with a felonious activity, RICO and racketeering.
Who do I present this to? The sheriff's department? I suppose they're the ones that can make benefit from it, right?
Well, giving them notice that they need to be aware that the malfeasance and the misprision of the bank that is in default right now, that has a maritime lien that has been listed against them, are coming in with unclean hands, and it would be construed by you that they're involving themselves as collusion and racketeering and could be held liable thereafter.
Very smooth. I hope I can get this recorded because this takes a lot. I like the words you're saying, but I can't remember it all for sure. I can't write it down fast enough, so I'm going to have to find this recorded someplace. Very nicely spoken, okay? I'm going to try to follow it up. Thank you very much.
This is Neil in Kentucky. I was talking to you earlier, and you said there's a talk show number for you or Christian Walters?
Yeah, that number is 41875, and that's easily...
Okay, it's 5 o'clock Pacific time. Is that correct?
Yeah, he doesn't, on Wednesday night, that's kind of an optional night for him. If he's working all night long, he, in some cases, do not come to the Wednesday call.